It's good to see everybody here this morning. Hope you've all had a good week this past week. It's been a treat to get some moisture for a change. It's a matter of fact, we have a moisture-related announcement. I don't think we've had but two of these since I've lived here, but we are postponing the devotional tomorrow. The outing for the youth group at the canyon. They've got a chance of rain down there. And they kind of went back and forth on it and finally decided they'd rather be safe than sorry. And so they're going to postpone that. So that'll be held at another time. So might want to make a note of that. Good to see all of our visitors with us, both from out of town and from in town. We're delighted to have you here. Always good to see those of you who are always so faithful to be here as well. It's just it's a wonderful thing to get together. Today, if you can get together with us again after the worship, we're having a meal at the Fellowship Hall. And as was mentioned, we're going to be honoring Eric and Lance and all their accomplishments that they had in graduating, and for some of us, especially me, just graduating was a huge accomplishment. So we're going to talk about opinions today. What do you think of opinions? I think most of us are pretty open-minded on opinions, are we not? We have our opinions, and other people can have their opinions. We're fine with their opinions, no matter how ignorant or pig-headed or ill-informed they may be. We're proud for them to have their opinion. But sometimes our problems come in where we start mixing opinions in with facts. And when we do that, it makes for a really confusing life. And it also makes for a very dangerous situation. And so wanted to talk about opinions today and also about the way we are to handle them and the way we're to handle others when they have a differing opinion, but also the way God views His Word and His commandments. Now, there are different types of opinions. One is a matter of just taste or preference. You may have a favorite color. Maybe your favorite color is blue or green. It really doesn't matter a hill of beans except for to you and to those who are immediately around you. If I really like hot pink, that's just fine until I paint my house that color, the neighbors might say something. But barring that, you get to have your opinion, and it doesn't matter. And you can still enjoy that opinion as long as you don't force it on others. You have a favorite team, maybe, and it's good to be able to root for somebody. But again, these things shouldn't be of great consequence to us. Usually you can tell your life is being led in the wrong direction or going in the wrong direction when the inconsequential opinions become the greatest part of your life. The second kind of opinion is a little more serious. And these are opinions that experience will influence. If you have experience in something, your opinion may count a little bit more than somebody else's. If you were to wonder what the best way to break a horse was, you would probably want to go to Max and not to me, because his opinion is formed based on his experience. Mine is just based on, breaking a horse wouldn't be based on anything, would it? But now if you had two different people, 40, 50 years experience breaking horses, one of them breaks them gentle, one of them breaks them fast, and they may have different experiences where their opinion, one is just as good or maybe is just as informed as another. Maybe they've tried both ways and they like a particular way better. They've found it to be more effective. And so even with experience, you can have some differing opinions. I know it's been a few years ago, but they used to replace knees where they just about cut the whole thing off and stick a new one in. And then somebody came along with the idea of splitting that tendon that goes down, and they would just kind of open that up and they'd replace your knee, and it was amazing the results of that. I can remember, I think the first one I ever saw had that was Shirley LaRoe, and he was already out gardening like within 2 months of having knee replacement, whereas we had a lady here who had had her knee replaced the old way and maybe 10 years earlier and still was limping on it. And so there are some things that even in an area like that, you can have differences of opinion, but experience is going to enter into it, and you're going to still have people that will have differing opinions. The problem that we have with this third area is in the matter of fact. And this is the area where your opinion means nothing, and it means everything. And by that, let me give you an example. It's a fact that if you stick your hand, your ungloved hand in a fire, untreated hand for those lawyers here, untreated hand in a fire, that your hand will be burned, even if you think it won't. There's been, I suppose, thousands, if not millions, of small children who have stuck their hands in a fire because they thought it was okay that first time. And so here is a fact, fire will burn, but if your opinion is it won't burn, it doesn't change the fact that it will, but it means everything to you because that mistake's going to cost you greatly. Even more serious is in the area of God's commandments. There are some things, it's true, and we're going to look at it in just a moment, that are disputable matters. We need to honor those as disputable. There are going to be some things that are harder to figure out. We're going to have to do our best to figure it out and respect others to do their best to figure it out. But when it comes to a command, that which is plainly said, that's no longer a matter of opinion. And your opinion means nothing as far as whether it's true or not, but it will mean everything to you as far as whether you abide by it or not. There will be a judgment. If it's determined as sin, will grace cover it or will it not? Will God forgive you or will it not? I realize that grace allows us to come back to God, but it allows us to come back to Him on His terms. What if we make a mistake? God's the perfect judge. Now make a mistake on that. We don't have to worry about Him making a mistake. But again, when we come back to this idea, there are facts that you cannot change just because you have a different opinion. And so we have to be very, very careful on all this. Now, as far as disputable matters, Romans chapter 14, verse 1. Accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not, and the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God has accepted him. And then look at this in verse 4, because I believe this is one of the most critical things to our understanding as far as our right or our responsibility to other people. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. This is an important area, but let me point out that the context for this is indisputable matters. God is not having Paul, through inspiration, talk about all matters, and you just do whatever you want, and it'll be okay at the end because God is able to make you stand. He's talking about disputable matters. There are some things where we're just going to have to give our best effort, our best understanding. And again, as far as opinions, don't get me wrong on this. God wants us to think and to think deeply about what He has written, His commands and all of the writings. What is it that Psalms chapter 1 verse 2 talks about? Blessed is the man who considers God's word and meditates on it day and night. We're to think about God's word. So thinking is good. Not thinking is bad. But the idea that somehow our thoughts are equivalent with God's commands, that's where we come into trouble. And so we want to look at both sides of this. As far as God's plainly stated word, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. Brothers, I have applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, so that you may learn from us the meaning of the saying, do not go beyond what's written. Then you'll not take pride in one man over against another. Let me ask you this. Why do we have so many denominations in the world? The Bible does not speak about denominations. It speaks about factions. Doesn't speak about them in a good light either. But why do we have so many different denominations? And isn't it because so many people go beyond what's written, and then we take pride in one man over another? This guy's argument's very persuasive. I'm going to follow him. This lady's argument is something that I wanted to hear. She's in the direction I want to go in. I'm following her. Do not go beyond what's written means find out what God has written, and then do it to the best of your ability. You will answer for the way that you handle the Word of God. And if for some reason you decide not to handle it in the way that God has commanded, well, He'll take care of that. He knows your heart, doesn't He? And He is on our side, but He's also not going to be mocked. You'll still reap what you sow. And so we're to be careful with God's Word. Do not go beyond what's written. And as far as this idea that God's Word is somehow so hard to understand that nobody can understand it, that's a dangerous argument. It's the same argument I hear people say in math class on difficult things in math. Or the same argument that I gave in English. You know, who can understand English? And I still wonder who can understand English. But I can see math. I can go down through math, and I can get an answer, and I can check it, and I can see where it comes from. But the point is, we will argue over things that we don't want to do because we're just too lazy to do it. Nobody can understand the Word of God essentially means, if you want to put it in its right light, is I don't have time for that. Different, you know, smart people can disagree, so why even bother? It may comfort you until the day of judgment, but it does nothing to help you be a better servant of God. And that's the point of our study, is it not? Of course we want to be saved. Of course we want to be right. But don't we want to study so that we can serve God better? And when our motivation is because I love God and I want to do the best I can for Him, then we'll start digging in. There will be some areas that are still disputable. There will still be some areas that are hard to understand. Just do your best. That's always been the command, has it not? 2 Timothy 2:15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the Word of truth. Why would we be commanded to do our best to handle the Word of truth if it couldn't be handled correctly? And of course, the answer is there would be no reason for that command. But so many of us are willing to do our least and hope that God will make up. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. As far as this idea that any thought is equal, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain. And then he goes on to talk about his creation. Since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. I see people all the time, well, I don't know what to believe. You know, this person says that God is God. This person says Jesus is the Son of God. This person says Buddha is somebody important. This person, you know, just on and on and on. And they excuse themselves. It becomes a philosophical argument in their mind. And they may have a fine mind as far as all that goes, but for some reason that mind doesn't go to the consequence. They just go to the immediate. Oh, I don't have time for this. I'm not going to look at it. What did God say about what could be known about Him? He said it was plain. Why? Because He made it plain. Are we banking our argument for eternity on going before God on Judgment Day and winning a debate with Him? Is that our plan of salvation, to go before Him and say, I just didn't understand it, you can't expect me to do it, let me in? That's a bad business plan in business. It's a terrible spiritual plan for eternity. Jesus put it this way. Jesus got it to motives when it came to obedience. John chapter 15 and verse 20. He said, remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. He's talking to his apostles now. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they did not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuse for their sin. Think about that for a moment. It's Jesus who has said what is sin and what is not sin. It's God who says that. And Jesus is just saying that there won't be an excuse for sin. He said, if I hadn't come and spoken to them, they wouldn't have been guilty. We have Jesus' spoken word contained within this. And again, if our final plan is, well, I'm just not going to do anything because it looks too hard and because smart people disagree, I'm just going to wait till the end to find out. If I had come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty. If I had not come, he said, excuse me, and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuse for their sin. If this is our strategy to ask God to excuse us for our sin because, and just fill in the blank, it's not work. But isn't it interesting what God has done for us? He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That proves that He's not trying to trick us. He's not trying to be too difficult. It also, I believe, buys the right, purchases the right, because we were bought at a cost. It purchases the right of God to expect you and I to do our best to find out everything we can. We still may not understand everything, but isn't God worth it? Isn't what God did for us just in the gift of grace alone enough to make us want to come to Him and find out everything we can? Isn't the sacrifice of Christ enough? Isn't that worth it? Isn't that a good enough down payment for our interest to be enough to find out what He had to say? I know there's a lot of opinions in the religious world. I know there's a lot of sincere opinions in the religious world of people disagreeing. I also know that God will sort all that out right on the last day. But this idea of it was too hard, so I'm not going to do it, if that's our plan, if that's our salvation plan, we really need to reconsider. There are opinions within religion, but there are also things that are clearly stated by the one who clearly wanted us to be with Him forever. And it's worth finding out His word, from His word, what He has to say, to see if we can't indeed understand it and then do it to the best of our ability. Oh, there's something else, and that's that there's a standard. If you've ever taken a philosophy class, you know that there's no real standards. I mean, there's standards of debate, and there's certain rules that they may have, but they've made them up. That's why it's called philosophy. In religion, there is a standard. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 talks about that standard. The Word of God is living, active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing spirit, soul, joints, and marrow. It, talking about the Word of God, judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. There's your standard. God knows whether you're just giving an excuse or not, because He has a standard by which He can tell. And He's going to use that standard. The Word of God does indeed judge the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. And when it comes to the Word of God, it's not opinion. It's fact. We don't have to agree with the fact, nor do we have to go along with the fact. But if we're wishing for the reward at the end, then we do have to go with what God has to say. Now, what do you do if you're not sure if the Bible is God's Word? I would say get busy and find out. I've spent a lot of my life looking at different things and trying to figure out, does this make sense? Is this something that could be? Is this something, I guarantee you, from my perspective, after studying the different writings and the way the Bible was put together, I don't think you can come to any other conclusion than this is the Word of God. You might be able to take that opinion into judgment with you. I feel a lot safer taking this opinion after experience and after education. But whether we agree with it or not, there is a Word, and that Word judges our thoughts and our attitudes. And then verse 13, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. When I was a little boy, 4 years old, maybe five, I had seen something in the neighborhood I really liked. It was a pretty rock. And I took it. Still have it to this day. I'm not sure where it is. It's a terrible reminder. I can remember at evening time, we would say our prayers. Mom would come in, we'd read a Bible story, and she'd listen to our prayers. And in my prayer, I said, "And if I have stolen anything, please forgive me." Well, after the prayer was over, Mom wanted to know what I'd stolen. And so I compounded it, and I said, "Oh, I didn't take it, you know, it's just in case." Well, it didn't fool Mom, and it didn't fool God. I was a little boy. How many adults do that now? By the way, you know what that shiny rock was? It was fool's gold. Isn't it interesting how we will lie to ourselves and convince ourselves it's true? One last standard, John 14:23. Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him. We will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me." And just a few verses before that, in verse 15, "If you love me, you'll obey what I command." What is your motivation in serving God? Is it just to kind of get through the life as best you can without too much trouble? Or is it because you love God and Christ so much that you want to serve Him and be with Him forever? And that you love them so much you want to find out everything you can? And that includes finding out if this Bible is true. And once you have determined that it is, finding out what it says so you can live by it. And if you determine that it's not, talk to the judge on Judgment Day and explain why. One opinion is as good as another in many different areas. But when it comes to the Word of God, what He has stated, what He has clearly and plainly stated, we need to do. And we will if we love Him. And Jesus said if we don't, we won't. The invitation's open. If you're ready to become a Christian today, we would love to help you with that. Won't you come forward and let your needs be known while we stand and sing?